I want to begin today by reminding you of some opportunities. We have a new website up. We have a new Facebook page. There are some other resources that we're trying to make available to people. It's all about ministry. It's all about positioning people to experience the Lord in a new way. So if you want to go, please look at www.terrywardle.org or go to Healing Care Ministries Facebook page, and you'll see a variety of resources and opportunities. Also, we have some upcoming seminars. We're going to be in Columbus, Ohio, the first or second week of June, doing the Formational Prayer Seminar, then immediately going out to Colorado Springs to do the Awakening Seminar. That's about identity integrity, the awakening of the true self. So some of these things are out there and available, and if you're interested, we'd love to have you attend. Our goal is always to position people before the Lord for transformation, to experience His presence, to know Him better, to love Him more, to follow Him more clearly, and it would be great to have you join us on that journey. So I've been spending these last few podcasts talking about a very small spiritual exercise, an acronym that can help us battle the tendency to spiral down in our thinking and find it leading to feelings of desolation, hopelessness, despair, and so forth. We've talked about it now several times, and the acronym is RING, R-I-N-G. R stands for Run to the Light, which we talked about in the very first podcast in this series. I is Imagine Prophetically. N is Notice. Today we're going to talk about G, which is Give Thanks. Now, I admit this is a simple tool. I will also, though, say that I've been using it, and it's helped me tremendously after a season of the evil one harassing. I found it very helpful to run to the light and to imagine prophetically and notice and give thanks. And I hope that to some degree it might be helpful to you. Give it a try. At least that won't cost you anything, as they say. See if it is able to keep you moving more toward consolation and keeping you from desolation. I will remind you that Jesus himself said that there is a thief, there is an evil one, that the only thing he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. He has no other goals. He doesn't want to make us wealthy, rich, or happy, but instead wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And often that comes through the agitation of accusation, and then the combination of our own desire to think things through in a worrisome way to where all of a sudden we're struggling. So that's the reason I'm offering this small exercise, and I hope you find it helpful. If not, just set it aside, let it blow away as dust in the wind, as I say. But if it is helpful, embrace it, share it with some others, and maybe we should form a new fellowship of the ring, if you will, not to steal too boldly from Tolkien. So today we're going to talk about give thanks, and I want to start actually by pointing out something negatively. There are a lot of people that are talking about the raising up of a generation of people that are living with an extreme sense of entitlement. And the whole idea of entitlement, I think, is very interesting. It's the foundation of entitlement is a lack of gratitude, a lack of being thankful for the things that come our way. One person wrote that it's not only a lack of gratitude, but also a lack of taking personal responsibility. And often it leads people to a deep sense of dissatisfaction and a willingness to, if you will, blame other folks for their lot in life. There is an article that I read about entitlement that started with the lead line, me, 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 and said that it's really linked to a form of narcissism and that it's, their term, a malignant form of self-love, and that it often leads to not only harming ourselves but harming other people when we think the universe revolves around us. And some of the symptoms of this is, it says, are people with unreasonable expectations on others, when people are feeling sorry for themselves, when they're manipulative and ruthless or egotistical and trying to get what they want out of life, where we believe we deserve happiness and anything that gets in the way of happiness should be eliminated, where everything is about comparison and competition. And it's often about individuals that take more than they give in their relationships. Well, not one of these qualities is a quality that lines up with Jesus, is it? Gratitude is something that's foundational to our lives. And also, I'm going to share some information here that says that it actually can go further to develop really neuropathways that induce very positive feelings about life when we develop an attitude of gratitude. Now, it just so happened that my friend Ken Blue and I were talking, and he mentioned that he has a gratitude journal, and he keeps it on his desk, and every day he tries to write in it some of the things that he's most thankful for. And I remember hearing that and thought, that's a great idea. I was very positive. By the way, Ken Blue is not only a dear friend, he's a very good author. And if you want to read his book, Authority to Heal, you'll find that it's one of the best treatments of healing available today. And I encourage you to go there. But I thought that was very interesting. And it was timely because as I was reading scripture, it was interesting that I went to the Gospel of Luke and right into the story of the 10 lepers and how Jesus heals them. One comes praising and giving thanks for what has happened. And Jesus talks about the fact that that gratitude was linked to faith. I thought that was very interesting because he says your faith has made you well. And somehow gratitude must instill faith, nurture faith, empower faith. So when we're feeling down and faithless, maybe we should spend a little time looking around at all the things we're thankful for and start naming them out loud. Why? Because faith, it seems, according to Jesus, springs out of a life of gratitude, not a life of entitlement. Years ago, when I was in seminary and studying, I had to read Gustavus Gutierrez, who was foundational to liberation theology. More recently, as I was looking at him, one of the things that he said that was very insightful about gratitude is he says, only one kind of person transforms the world, the one with a grateful heart. Did you hear that? We want to transform the world. This is something important to us, isn't it? We want to see light come into the world. We want to see the power of Christ come into the world. We want to see more kingdom ministry in the world. And Gutierrez says, well, gratitude is one of the ways that we can do that. And that's something available to all of us, to stop and to be grateful. Callisto Ware is an Orthodox priest, and he once wrote that only through gratitude could he discover himself. Therefore, only through gratitude can I discover myself. Now, this next person I'm going to mention is far more well-known than Gutierrez and Callisto Ware. Not in the same league theologically, but still, Oprah. I was reading recently that Oprah started a gratitude journal. Maybe that's where Ken got the idea. And that every day she wants to write five things that she's grateful for. And she actually said this, that this has been the single most powerful decision that she has made in her life. Now, this is a woman who is, I think, a billionaire and who has influenced so many individuals. And yet she's saying to develop a gratitude journal has been something that has profoundly impacted her. Well, there's reasons for that. I decided to go and do a little research. Neuroscience says that gratitude is proven to be a natural antidepressant. Do you hear that? A natural antidepressant. So Jesus suggests that gratitude can induce faith. Neuroscience suggests that gratitude can help us in terms of our attitude and push against depression. It produces chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. They increase when we're saying things that we're grateful for, listing them, writing them, being thankful to God and to others. And the more we do this, the stronger the pathways That's Donald Hebb, what, in the 50s said, what fires together wires together, meaning that when synaptic connections fire, they begin to wire and they begin to create new attitudes. That's also true of negative thoughts, that negative thoughts can fire together and wire together and produce negative feelings. But I think it's very important to recognize this whole idea that gratitude is part of what lifts us up. Run to the light, imagine prophetically, notice, give thanks. So exactly what is gratitude? Well, I looked it up and it's defined as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, a willingness to return to kindness. Wow, I like that. I really do. The quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, a willingness to return kindness. It's one of the virtues of the kingdom. I mean, if we want to really do battle against the evil one, gratitude is one way we can. But also, we're not only pushing back darkness outside of us, but we're eliminating darkness within us, and there's light that comes. That's the whole point here, isn't it? Cicero actually referred to gratitude as the mother of all virtues. And apparently, neuroscience is backing that whole thing up. There's a study that was done by a man named Stephen Smith, who's the executive director of the Shoah Foundation, and he said gratitude and small acts of generosity go hand in hand. So it would appear like, to me, that not only does gratitude, if you will, birth faith, somehow it births more faith as we're being grateful, but it also can lead us to being spontaneously more generous. I like that idea. In Psychology Today, an author named Berglund said that neurobiology apparently is supporting the benefits of living by the golden rule, that something happens within the synaptic connections of our brain when we are a grateful people, when we stop to give thanks. Now, I realize that there are times in life it's very difficult to find something to be thankful for, but one of the principles of neurobiology is state integration, which means you can be in more than one emotional state at a time, which suggests to me that even in times of difficulty, we can look around and begin to think of things we're grateful for. And it's not only things that we're grateful for that we have received, but also grateful for things that have not been, if you will, taken from us. Well, certainly the psalmists see the benefit of gratitude, don't they? Over and over again, we see the psalmist crying out and looking and speaking to what God has done and then singing a word of praise and a word of thanks, like Psalm 9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. It's very interesting that the very next verse in Psalm 9 says, my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. Wow. Is this suggesting that gratitude and giving thanks can actually be a weapon of spiritual warfare to press back the thief that's trying through accusation and through slinging mud to bring discouragement to us? Well, I think it's important that we're willing to go ahead and say, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to praise the Lord. And so over and over again, as you go to the Psalms, you see these different declarations that talk about the wonder of God and speaking about all he is, like in Psalm 18, that the Lord is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my deliverer. That kind of praise is an act of gratitude, lifting up praise before the Lord. And suddenly it creates within our lives, well, new synaptic connections. It says in Psalm 18 later, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who saves me from the enemy. And I will praise you, Lord. I will sing the praises of your name. Look, I can go on and on, can't I? All through the Psalms, we see these examples of where the psalmist stops to say thanks. Stops to express gratitude. There's even a passage of scripture in the latter Psalms, in Psalm 147, that talks about the relationship between praise and doing battle against the evil one. That there's some relationship between praising God and pushing back darkness. Well, I want to encourage you that as you begin to see the difficult emotions come in, as you begin to experience deeper and deeper feelings of desolation, that you make a choice. And that choice is to begin to turn to the Lord, to give thanks for all He has done, and then watch and see what happens. Now, I'm not saying it's a pill that, you know, the minute you take it, everything changes, but I believe that if you adopt this as a lifestyle, that you begin to see change. And again, as I've been saying through this series, I didn't come up with this just because I needed something else to say. I actually was finding myself spinning for days on end, fighting back negative thoughts. And boy, I could just grab hold, and next thing you know, the mind controlled by the flesh is death, and I was feeling more and more desolation. And then all of a sudden, as the Lord began to lay this on my heart, running to the light, imagining prophetically, noticing, giving thanks, I found that I was able to stay more in the center and experience the Lord. This must be in part why Paul writes in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And then he talks about the Lord being near. He then goes on, of course, to talk about lifting everything up with prayer and petition. And then it says this, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay, now think about that. If gratitude is a natural antidepressant, if gratitude does in fact to some degree impact and birth faith, Paul goes on here to tell us that even in our prayers, when we're seeking something from the Lord, we should do so with thanksgiving. And then he says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, is this actually Paul revealing the relationship between gratitude, seeking God to meet needs in our lives, which would be birthing faith, and experiencing peace? I think there is a relationship here that Paul wants us to understand, that choosing a life of gratitude does more than simply give us a chance to say thanks. It fights against the efforts of the evil one. It pushes back the entire entitlement mentality that often we experience, but also a life of gratitude somehow births deeper faith. It positions us in our prayers to believe more deeply in God's intervention. It also can bring peace to our hearts. And as I mentioned in the very first podcast, it helps us to think about what is true, right, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, which all come out of that same passage of Scripture in Philippians. So here's the challenge. Are you willing to set a short-term goal? Just experiment for, let's just say, 3 to 5 days. Give thanks. Give thanks, as St. Ignatius said, for blessings great and small. And if, in fact, you find that this does have a positive effect as you're moving against the thoughts of the world and spinning down into the morass of negativity, why don't you move to a midterm goal and tell yourself you're going to get a journal in which every day you list, let's just say, 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for. And lift them up to the Lord, and then go and show some gratitude to other people. Thank them. Return their kindness with kindness. And just maybe it could then turn to a lifetime attitude, that now the neural pathways are such that it'll become automatic and you won't have to press it because the Lord will be with you. So, ring. Why don't you try it? If you're finding yourself struggling, that your thoughts run more to the past than to the future and you have difficulty staying in the present, then why don't you just every day practice coming back to ring, run to the light. Just tell yourself, that thought is not light, that thought is dark, that thought is not life, that thought is death. Run to the light. Imagine prophetically. Ask the Holy Spirit to take over your imagination and give you pictures of the preferable future that God has in mind and a picture of the truths that are yours in Christ. Don't just run to the light and imagine prophetically, notice. Ask the Lord to make you more aware and more alert to His movement in life. And then give thanks. In very concrete ways, give thanks. Well, give it a try. I'm going to continue to do it. I found it helpful. Well, I hope you know that God's face is shining on you today and that you'll experience His presence. God bless.